Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, January 23rd, is the feast of Saint Emerenciana, Virgin and Martyr. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis calls for the ethical and responsible use of artificial intelligence. The head of the USCCB says some of President Trump's executive orders are deeply troubling. And religious sisters are taking part in a conference here in Rome on weaving communion through communication. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, global policymakers and business leaders are in Davos, Switzerland, engaging in high-stakes discussions at the 55th World Economic Forum. As he does every year, Pope Francis sent a message to the venue. In his text, the Pope reflects once again on artificial intelligence, praising its ability to help human beings, but also warning about its dangers if not used and managed ethically and responsibly. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has this report.
Human dignity must never be violated for the sake of efficiency. Pope Francis offered this reminder in his message to the chairman of the 2025 World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. The Holy Father began by observing that the theme of this year's forum is collaboration for the intelligent age, which he suggested provides a good opportunity to reflect on artificial intelligence as a tool not only for cooperation, but also to bring peoples together. When used correctly, the Pope commended, AI assists the human person in fulfilling his or her vocation in freedom and responsibility. As with all other human activity and technological development, he reminded, AI must be ordered to the human person and become part of efforts to achieve greater justice, more extensive fraternity, and a more humane order of social relations. Achieving this, the Pope reiterated, is more valuable than advances in the technical field. In this context, the Pope stressed that technological developments that do not improve life for everyone, but instead create or worsen inequalities and conflicts, cannot be called true progress. To navigate the complexities of AI, the Pope said, governments and businesses must exercise due diligence and vigilance. In this regard, he urged them to critically evaluate the individual applications of AI in particular contexts in order to determine whether its use promotes human dignity and the common good. As with many technologies, the Holy Father, who has spoken in various contexts about the pros and cons of AI, cautioned, the effects of the various uses of AI may not always be predictable from their inception. As the application of AI and its social impact become clear over time, the Pope stressed, appropriate responses must be made at all levels of society, which requires individual users, families, civil society, corporations, institutions, governments, and international organizations working at their proper levels to ensure that AI is directed toward the good of all. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
In the United States, the president of the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference has said that President Trump's new measures on migration, the death penalty, and the environment are deeply troubling. He did, however, praise his initiatives on gender issues, as Joseph Tulloch reports.
Archbishop Timothy Broglio, the president of the U.S. Bishops' Conference, has responded to the slew of executive orders signed by U.S. President Donald Trump in his first few days in office. In a statement, Archbishop Broglio said that some provisions contained in the executive orders were, quote, deeply troubling and would have negative consequences, while others, he said, can be seen in a more positive light. The areas singled out by the Archbishop for criticism were those focused on the treatment of immigrants and refugees, on foreign aid, on expansion of the death penalty, and on the environment. On the other hand, Archbishop Broglio praised the measures for, quote, recognizing the truth about each human person as male or female. It is our hope, Broglio stressed, that the leadership of our country will reconsider these actions, which disregard not only the human dignity of a few, but the human dignity of us all. And the Archbishop brought his statement to a close by saying that he would pray that, as a nation blessed with many gifts, the United States' actions might, quote, demonstrate a genuine care for our most vulnerable sisters and brothers. In a separate statement, Bishop Mark J. Seitz of El Paso, chairman of the U.S. Bishops' Committee on Migration, also addressed the executive orders. National self-interest, Bishop Seitz said, does not justify policies with consequences that are contrary to the moral law. The use of sweeping generalizations to denigrate any group, the bishop continued, such as describing all undocumented immigrants as criminals in order to deprive them of protection under the law, is an affront to God, who has created each of us in his own image. End of quote from Bishop J. Seitz. The bishop brought his statement to an end with an appeal to President Trump to work in good faith with members of Congress to achieve what he called meaningful bipartisan immigration reform, which furthers the common good. I'm Joseph Tullock.
Religious sisters involved in the field of communication from around the world are in Rome as pilgrims of hope and participants in the Jubilee of the World of Communications that takes place beginning tomorrow and going through Sunday. One event that features the sisters is a conference entitled Weaving Communion Through Communications. It seeks to inspire, explore, and enhance the communication efforts of the sisters, gives them the opportunity to share their experiences and approaches for communicating hope in the contemporary media environment. Sister Daisy Ann Lasagna Augustine, the Secretary of the Social Communications Commission of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Papua New Guinea, has literally traveled around the globe to be here. She spoke with Vatican Radio about her feelings and thoughts about this special moment of healing, reconciliation, and hope.
I just brought myself, and I feel that the Pope is calling us, and the Church is also calling us for healing, for reconciliation. And I brought myself with all my, you know, my challenges as a person, and also as a religious sister. And I would like to receive this grace for once in a lifetime, going through that holy door. And I would like to bring that grace, the grace of healing, to my people. Yeah. So that's the feeling that I have. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sister Daisy. I don't know if you want to add something else.
I would like to say that when we went to the Vatican Radio Museum, I was dumbfounded. I saw how the Church upheld communication from the beginning. And I would like to ask our leaders in the Church, our bishops and priests, to really give important emphasis to communication, yeah, in the Church, especially in the dioceses, in the peripheries. So it's my challenge to our leaders in the Church, yeah. And you know, radio is the most important thing in Papua New Guinea, radio and newspaper. So for us, print media is still the best. Yeah. So if the Western countries are saying we move into digital world and, you know, we forget print, I feel that you're missing the most important thing, because print is something that our people can hold. It's real. It's concrete, you know. Digital, it's on the air, you read and then you forget it. But what is concrete is I think, speaking to the heart.
And that was Sister Daisy Augustine from Papua New Guinea, speaking there with Delphine Allaire of Vatican News. Around 80 religious sisters are meeting in Rome this week as part of the Jubilee for Communications. Sponsored by the Conrad Hilton Foundation, that conference provides Catholic sisters a chance to network and share their stories of serving people on the margins of society. Linda Hilton, the president of the Hilton Foundation, spoke with Devin Watkins on the sidelines of the conference about the charitable organization's work to support the mission of the sisters.
Since the foundation was founded in 1944, the mission has remained the same. And although some of our initiatives have changed over time, the foundation just continues to work in helping those that are in need the most. Those who are in poverty, those who are marginalized, is what his wishes were. So we really are buried into the donor intent, and whether it is something where the world has pivoted and needs our attention, then the board will decide if we need to move with it.
Now, the Hilton Foundation currently supports the Sisters Project that's run by the Vatican Dicastery for Communication. So in light of this conference, why do you feel it is important to support the work of religious sisters, and why specifically in communications?
There are sisters that work in the bush in Australia. They don't have electricity, and they certainly don't have Wi-Fi. Those stories have to be lifted for everyone to understand what is truly happening in the world, and that these sisters do it out of their heart and compassion for others, but no one knows the stories. So I think this is important for them to have a network and for us to work with the Dicastery of Communications here to work on spreading a web of communication.
Is there a particular project that's supported by the Hilton Foundation that you feel very strongly about?
I'm not supposed to have a favorite or feel strongly about one, but what sticks out here the most was the launch of the Anna Trust, taking care of the elderly and aging sisters. And the average age of the sisters in the United States in 2009 was 69. And I was really shocked by that. Even globally, it was very high. It's important to step in and do that because Conrad's last will and testament said that he wanted most of his money to go to the sisters. Although he wanted us to help them take care of others, I know that he'd be very proud that we're helping them take care of themselves at this point.
That was Linda Hilton, president of the Conrad Hilton Foundation, speaking with Devin Watkins. And finally, each month, Pope Francis shares his monthly prayer intentions with the world, dedicated to an issue that he feels is particularly important. For example, the intention for this month, January 2025, is for the right to an education. On Thursday morning, a delegation from the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network, the organization responsible for publishing the monthly intentions, met with Pope Francis in the Apostolic Palace at the Vatican. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
Greeting the new director of the network and all its members, Pope Francis expressed his gratitude that his most recent encyclical, Dilexit Nos, was received joyfully by the group. He explained the letter can provide substantial nourishment for fostering the spirituality of their apostolate. The Pope also reflected on how the prayer network calls the encyclical letter the way of the heart, with a twofold meaning.
È il cammino di Gesù, del sacro cuore sacro, attraverso il mistero dell'incarnazione, passione, morte e resurrezione.
The first is that it is the journey of Jesus, of his sacred heart, through the mystery of his incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection. Secondly, it is the journey of our own hearts, wounded by sin, which allow them to be conquered and transformed by love. On both journeys, the Pope said Mary guides us, because she has gone before us on this pilgrimage of faith and hope. As the Gospel of Luke notes, Mary kept all of Jesus' words and actions, reflecting on them in her heart. Pope Francis highlighted how Mary teaches each and every one of us to do the same. In light of the Jubilee year and the specific Jubilee for Communication to be held January 24th to the 26th, the Pope stressed the Worldwide Prayer Network has an important role to play.
Aiutando le persone, le comunità, a vivere nello spirito.
Their work is to help everyone, individuals and communities, live the Jubilee as a journey in which prayer and compassion, prayer and closeness to the least among us, prayer and works of mercy are inseparably combined. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks to our technicians in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.